an extraordinary story. God's hand guiding all of it, no doubt.
Science and God really are just complementary.
We're in the middle of a war, spiritual warfare.
God doesn't just tolerate us. God loves us.
Rooted in Christ and growing throughout the world, our church is ever ancient, ever new.
And it's time for another episode of Ever Ancient, Ever New on Holy Family Radio, AM 720, 720 WHYF. I'm your host, Mike Creevy. Happy that you have joined us today to take a closer look at some important things, I think, especially as it pertains to young people in their teens specifically. And that's what the show is really all about. And, you know, basically my background is in youth ministry and in teaching high school, which is what I've been doing currently the last couple of years, especially ninth grade, 10th grade, some of those early high school years, but also 11th and 12th grade here and there as well. And I tend to approach, as much as I can, I tend to approach everything with them in mind in a particular way. And that doesn't mean that I'm the be-all, end-all expert, absolutely. You know, I'm always learning. There's always something new that's like throwing me for a loop with them and what they're going through at that time when it comes to living the faith and growing in their knowledge of the faith. And that's kind of what I try to do here on this show. So I want to begin, though, as always, with prayer. Let's start in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that you send your Spirit into our hearts, into our minds, and we ask especially that you help us always and everywhere, all your people, all your children, to hear your promptings when we read the sacred word of God, to be opened to what you are trying to communicate to us at all times through the scriptures, through the holy word, through the Bible, that we will understand it correctly, interpret it correctly, that we will be able to grow in our faith as we grow more familiar with the holy words that you give us in sacred scripture. We ask all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before I move on here, I just want to mention, as always, you should check out the website if you haven't already, or if you have before. There's always good stuff over there about the station over at 720whyf.com. Also, our podcasts, please share that. We're really trying to spread the word about these local programs. If you go over, you can get those directly from our homepage at 720whyf.com. You can click out and access it, or you could go straight to the podcast feed itself, which is over at podbean.com/holyfamilyradio. I believe. I don't have it right in front of me, but I should double check that. So, or if you just go there, if you Google Holy Family Radio, AM 720 WHYF, Holy Family Radio Podcasts, it'll come right up and you'll be able to find it there. All your great local Catholic programs here in the Harrisburg area. So, as you've seen on the title for today's show, we're thinking today a little bit about just something I wanted to share, a couple insights when it comes to teens and biblical literacy. So this is an area that's becoming increasingly within my, you know, kind of wheelhouse as far as what I deal with on a daily basis in my job. I'm teaching actually right now and have taught at least twice before, actually more than that if I thought hard about it, probably more than that, but at least twice before, a semester based on divine revelation, on principles of Catholic biblical interpretation, on basic Bible interpretation vocabulary, and then ultimately on the story, the narrative theology of the Old Testament leading up to the New. In other words, fancy way of saying, what's the story? What's actually going on in the Bible, in the Old Testament? How do we understand how those stories connect to each other, ultimately how they all individually and together point to and result, culminate in Jesus Christ and his mission in the church all the way down to us today. That's a lot to sort of to chew. And it's funny, as a Catholic high school theology teacher, the way that curriculum is kind of designed and set forth by the U.S. bishops basically gives me till January, from the beginning of September until January, to achieve all that. Thanks a lot, bishops. No, but the idea is that the students get a flyover, a crash course, in a sense, in in the Bible. And that's very good, because what we're trying to do is build a foundation for them as they go further in their study, their academic study of theology. They'll be more equipped to kind of look at deeper questions and apply certain things to their own lives, and that sort of thing. So most Catholic high schools are like this. If you go and check it out, you know, what you'll typically find is some sort of curriculum that, as you know, you go from 9th grade through 12th grade, you're going to typically get 8 theology courses, is the way most schools have this set up. The bishops give you basically 6 overarching competencies that you need to make sure you address so that it can truly be a Catholic theology education for high schoolers. That's the idea. But within that, there's a lot of flexibility in terms of how you carry that out. So most places you'll see somewhere in their time during their theology studies in a Catholic high school, students are going to get courses like moral theology, Catholic social teaching, you know, the expectations of Christians out in society. You know, what is the love of Christ and the commands of Christ lead us to do actually in society as a citizen, that kind of thing. The sacraments, a whole course just for the sacraments. A course on the Paschal mystery. In other words, the nuts and bolts of how Jesus's sacrifice actually sets us free from sin and death. So, you know, the suffering death, crucifixion, death, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus, all that, just one course. You get courses on Christ himself, just the person of Jesus Christ. Who is he? Sometimes as important, who isn't he? And those sorts of questions. Church history, a course just on the church itself, what it is, how it's organized, you know, how Jesus establishes it and sustains it. So all those kinds of things, you know, are courses you'll typically see, but it all, in my opinion, is really rooted in a fundamental understanding, for better or for worse, in what, as your start point, is God all about? Who is God? What is God? It was Aquinas' great question, even apparently as a kid. You know, he's getting the lesson, like the Sunday school lesson, and, you know, God bless him, little St. Thomas Aquinas puts his hand up and just says, but what is God? This curiosity to always just go deeper into that, because you can't just understand that. It's mysterious. It's, you know, the Trinity, the nature of God himself, is the central mystery of all and cannot possibly be comprehended by a human mind, you know, or an angelic mind for that matter. So there's some deep stuff here. And I think what happens a lot of times is we want to just shy away from exploring deep things with 14 and 15 year old kids. So you get a freshman in the classroom. A lot of times people are so focused on relationship building and, you know, helping them with study skills and these are all incredibly important things, but I've always believed that they should never be at the expense of actually challenging them, going deeper, asking them some tough questions, you know, but then guiding them and bringing them maybe back up for air. So that's kind of what I do with my students. We go scuba diving a lot. We plunge into scripture. We go deep into some stuff, and sometimes their heads are spinning, and then I'm like, okay, let's all go up back for air. And here's an analogy, or here's an example, or here's a connection to your life to make this real simple for you. So that's kind of my approach. And I believe in it. I'm sure it's not perfect, but that's the way I kind of teach in general. So when it comes to this question of teens' biblical literacy, especially on my mind now because I'm teaching a course in particular on the background and, you know, the basics of biblical reading and biblical study and interpretation, followed by an in-depth, you know, survey of the Old Testament, I learned early on that it's sometimes best, I think, just to assume they've never heard any of it. And that's not just because sometimes you get students in a Catholic classroom who might be coming from a non-Catholic background or even a non-Christian or even non-religious background of any kind, and, you know, where they just flat out don't know some of these things. Some of your Sunday mass-going Catholic high school students can't find a Bible verse. That may shock you to hear, but a lot more of them than you might think can't do it. They don't know how. And there's a lot of reasons, I think. And so that's kind of what I wanted to say today, is just sort of share with you a little bit, if you haven't seen this already, some of the issues with biblical literacy that I see a couple things I think are behind that, reasons why, and then at the light at the end of the tunnel at the end of this particular episode, just to give you some hope that it's not anything that we should necessarily lose sleep over, even though it can be frustrating sometimes. So, some of those problems I just mentioned, and some other ones that are there. They can't find a Bible verse. Some of them, you know, you start talking about Noah and his ark, and they actually don't know the Noah story. They have no idea who Abraham is. What's the difference between Abraham and Moses? Who was the first king of Israel? Who were any of the kings of Israel? What is Israel? God, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Yeah, it's three gods, right? No, that's not what it is. Or, you know, hey, God is just sort of everything. No. That's not true. Very, very basic things that some of us might assume they know, you know, because they went to CCD, they don't. And so the important thing I want to just mention here before the break is right off the bat, I am not just blanket statement blaming, quote, bad catechesis. There's something to be said for that, but I think far too often when we say poor catechesis, the immediate jump that we make in our minds is bad CCD teachers, you know, or ones who don't know the faith. Sometimes that is the case, but I truly believe a lot of times that's not the case. I just think sometimes we don't really know how to do it. We don't really have a good textbook, maybe, and we're stuck. We don't know who to talk to. We're busy, and we don't maybe make the lesson plan that effective. So some of it is just basic stuff that teachers can learn and improve in. But there are, I think, and have been trends, especially in the past few decades, where certain things weren't emphasized. Certain parts of the Old Testament were ignored because we were afraid or because we didn't know how to teach it ourselves. I didn't. You know, I mean, I didn't really have a firm grasp of the story of the Old Testament, quite frankly, until I was well into college and studying theology. Those are just some of the things in the background here. The biblical literacy in general is awful today. It just is, in my experience. But there's some reasons for that, and there's some hope, as I said, on the other side of the break. We're going to come back and talk about that. So if you're just tuning in, I'm Mike Creevy. This is Ever Ancient, Ever New on Holy Family Radio, your Catholic station in the Harrisburg area. It's AM 720, 720WHYF.com is the website. Talking about biblical literacy in the life of teens. And we will be right back on the other side of this break. Don't go away. Ever Ancient, Ever New comes back in a moment.
This is Holy Family Radio Manager Dan Steele. I want to thank you for listening to Holy Family Radio podcasts and broadcasts, whether it's over the air at 720 on your AM dial or online streaming at 720WHYF.com. We appreciate your involvement in Central Pennsylvania's only Catholic radio station. But I must share with you, if we are to keep our ministry growing in the Harrisburg Diocese, we really need your help. We are a totally listener-supported nonprofit 501c3, and I'm asking you to prayerfully consider donating any amount you can to help us continue our work in spreading God's Word. Please go to our website at 720WHYF.com. Click on the donate button and follow the instructions. And thank you for helping to keep us on the air, and may God bless you.
Ancient Ever New Show on Holy Family Radio, 720 a.m. in the Harrisburg area, 720WHYF.com online. If you're tuning in online, hello. You might be tuning in somewhere else in the world, which is awesome. Drop us a line over at eaenshow@gmail.com and let us know where you are. I'm your host, Mike Creevy, and today we're taking a look a little bit here at biblical literacy and teenagers. So I'm recording this right now in September 2019. So if you're listening to the podcast somewhere in the future, some of this might have changed, hopefully for the better. But in general, where I left off before the break was just sharing some stories, some experiences that I've had as a Catholic high school theology teacher who teaches scripture quite a bit. And seeing when I first started out, how dismal in many ways the general biblical literacy of the average population is. That being said, sometimes it depends on the class. Sometimes it depends on the kids, the area you're in, the community. Sometimes it depends on the school, quite frankly. So there are a lot of factors in play here. But in general, as I started to say before the break, a lot of it, I think, was a lack in both some religious formation, maybe in our catechetical programs. Again, not blaming anybody or just blanket statement throwing anybody under the bus. But sometimes the resources weren't the best. Sometimes there were trends that led us, or even sometimes direct orders in some places from maybe a pastor or a religious sister or somebody, you know, sadly, to not teach the Old Testament. You know, oh, it's too dark. That's the brooding, evil, angry God of the ancient Israelites. Basically, anybody who says that, I don't care how many degrees they have after their name, they don't know what they're talking about. Okay? Because that's not the heart of the church. That's not the church's attitude about the Old Testament. The church's attitude about the Old Testament goes all the way back to Christ, namely that God himself is Holy Spirit, Son, and Father. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Infinite, perfect act of love. Okay? From the beginning and even before the beginning. And God is love. He didn't become love when Jesus came along. So everything that he does in the Old Testament somehow is an act of love. I know that's a sort of a tough sell when you're talking about the slaughter of the Canaanites. Okay? or various other events in the Old Testament. The problem is that everything is oftentimes ripped out of context, or we don't learn the interpretive tools that we need to keep in mind. We don't learn about things like how to study and do the hard work to find out what the original biblical book author, the human author writing that particular book, by God's inspiration, by God's will, was intending to say. What was God intending that person to say? How do you roll up your sleeves and get to work on, for example, the Noah story so that you can actually better understand what kind of literary style is being used by the sacred author in that story. Is it straight history, the way we think of the word history? You know, you get your son or daughter maybe is taking like AP European history and they have an AP, you know, thick, 4-inch thick AP European history textbook. Is that the kind of writing that is in Genesis chapters 4-6? No, it's not. You know, Genesis 6-9, you know, like getting around the Noah story. That's just not what kind of language, what kind of style those first few chapters of Genesis is employing. That can be known. We can study that. You can find that out. It's not hidden. So one of the problems that we run into is that, I see this a lot with the students, is right away they've been taught a lot of times that Catholics don't read the Bible literally. That drives me absolutely nuts, folks. Because yes, we do. We have to read the Bible literally. The problem is that we don't really use the word literally correct or in a correct way. So if I say that, you know, you have to read the Bible literally, you know, it's always where to start with any biblical text. What I don't mean is that when you read a passage that says it was raining cats and dogs, that it, quote, literally means that there were dogs and cats falling out of the clouds onto the ground. That's not what literal means in this context. So when we talk about the literal sense of Scripture, what we mean is what do the words express right there? What is the meaning of the words that you're reading right now? Get it? You know, like literal, literary, literature. So what's the sense of the words themselves? The literal sense of a passage in the Bible that says it was raining cats and dogs is it was raining a lot. That's what it literally means. Why is that? Because the literature that you're reading, the words on the page, are expressing a metaphor. Maybe it's a specific Hebrew phrase. Maybe it's some kind of hyperbole that Jesus was teaching, for example. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Jesus is not, quote, literally telling people to pull their eyeball out. He's using a teaching technique that is exaggerating something to emphasize its importance. In other words, you're really stuck in sin and you better get serious about, you know, getting away from it. So all of these things are in play when we talk about the literal sense of Scripture. So I try to walk my students through learning how to approach every Bible passage, every book of the Bible as a whole, looking for those things, or at least having those things in mind. And we all keep practicing it as we go. Nobody's an expert at this, you know, at least at first. Just to get them used to reading a passage, and I recommend this to all of you, any of you who are parents or teachers, find ways to do this. There's plenty of resources out there. I'll share a few at the end here. But, you know, have them read the Exodus. Have them read the story of Moses leading the Israelites out of slavery and help them to see that, you know, what you want to start with is looking for when was this text written? What was the original intention for writing this from a human perspective? What are some of the historical and cultural, you know, contexts going on here that we should maybe keep in mind? You know, do that work. That's the literal sense. But then you go deeper. Literal is the surface. Then you go under. You plunge underneath those same waters and you dig into the spiritual sense, spiritual senses of Scripture. There's three of them. If you don't believe me, go check it out. It's in the Catechism. It's a Catechism, paragraphs 115 to 119 goes into this. The allegorical sense has to do with how does that Bible passage get us thinking about Jesus and his church? So Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt. Well, Jesus leads us out of the sin, out of the slavery of sin, through the waters of baptism. And the waters crush and destroy all the sin, right? That's the allegorical sense. The moral sense, how does that relate to our own lives? What are my own attachments? What are the own slaveries, you know, in my own life? And am I responding to God's action in my own life to draw me out of those things, to grow closer to him and to ultimately be saved and to be free in my own life? And then lastly, the anagogical sense, fancy word, it just means basically to lead up. This is the eschatological dimension, the last things, the eternal life dimension of this. So in other words, how do you read the Moses story of the Israelites, God, you know, leading them through Moses out of Israel, or out of Egypt, rather, out of slavery? What are the bigger implications for the entire story of the whole human race ultimately being called through all of these covenants and all this history out of the slavery of sin and death and darkness and ultimately into eternal life, eternal freedom, the final conclusion, the ultimate destruction of all evil forever? These are all things that you can find packed in every Bible story. Sometimes it's a lot harder than others to find that, but those connections are there. So I really recommend, just in the last few minutes, a couple resources for you of how to make this come alive, how to take your student, take your son or daughter, niece, nephew, whoever, deeper into Scripture to connect with it in so many different ways. And really, some of the best people to look to are people like Dr. Scott Hahn. His book, A Father Who Keeps His Promises, a phenomenal resource that helps you kind of start thinking along these lines when it comes to the story of salvation and how we fit in it ultimately. All the work of Jeff Cavins, the Great Adventure Bible series, the series itself, the resources from the series, the Bible timeline that helps situate you wherever you're at in the Bible with where things are, you know, where things are in terms of the covenant history at that point in the story. Dr. Edward Sree has a lot of great materials. Augustine Institute, by extension, and all of their wonderful biblical study materials. And then one of my personal favorites, Dr. John Bergsma, has a wonderful book, series of books, where he uses stick figures, little hills and stick figures to sort of depict the different covenants in the Old Testament and what God is doing with those different covenants. It seems a little goofy at first, but it's phenomenal. And I'm telling you, high school students, it really helps them remember it. And there's a pattern for each covenant in the Old Testament that Dr. Bergsma uses, same kind of setup. So they start to see those connections. Like, wait a minute, the waters of the flood, that's kind of like the waters of baptism. And oh yeah, Abraham and the sacrifice, you know, Isaac carrying the wood on his back up the hill, just like Jesus carrying the wood of his cross. You know, you'll see all these connections. So it's a book called Bible Basics for Catholics that you can look up. Dr. John Bergsma, it's B-E-R-G-S-M-A, Bergsma. So I'm going to kind of bring it to a close here. These are some of the pieces of good news. I started with the bad news. The good news is I, for one, am working, you know, my tail off every day trying to help our young people dig into the scriptures in a more accurate way, in a more in-depth way, to not be afraid of looking at some of those hard sayings and hard passages in the Bible. Get them to find what it means. Get them to find the context. Don't settle for just some lame YouTube comment box type attitude of, you know, oh, look, God's a genocidal maniac. Like, you'll see stuff like that all over the internet. And it's, quite frankly, from people who are being lazy and who don't really want to actually explore the story, don't actually want, you know, to go deeper and do the work that it takes to be able to understand what you're talking about with the Bible. So teens can become biblically literate. Quite frankly, it shouldn't be easier to become biblically literate than it is to become literate in French, Spanish, any language, right? There's some challenge there, but it can be done. The tools are there, and there's lots more. So if you have resources you want to share with me, too, that could help me out, I'd love to hear it at EAENshow@gmail.com. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you so much for stopping by today. I'm your host, Mike Creevy. Hope you'll enjoy the show. It's 720 AM, AM 720 in the Harrisburg area, 720 WHYF. 720WHYF.com is the website. Check out our podcasts over there, all of our local shows. Holy Family Radio is here to help you grow in your faith, and we love doing it. So God bless you, and until next time, make straight your ways and hope in Him.